Thank you so much for those words. He just said that he always sees a pleasant face and smile on me all the time. I gotta say that sometimes I don't feel like it, and my face is just like I can't put it in a way that is to show you that I am. Have joy. I'm happy. I mean, you know, we all have a different. What's the word? Signs that you send with your face. maybe it's just my face, but inside of me, I do carry the joy of the Lord and the joy of life and the joy of the blessings that we receive every day. It's good to be here and happy to see all of you here. Thank you for taking the time to come and hear me. Hopefully I won't be babbling too much today. I have quite a few slides here. And yeah, you can see the name that I got here for my sermon, and it has nothing to do with anybody, you know. It's just things that, you know, in general, we have to be careful and not to forget who we are and who do we serve. I like this, the verse that we just sing in this song that is says, I serve a raising Savior, and he is in the world today, and I know he is alive. This can sound a little too much for people that don't know God. Really, you know, he was crucified on the cross, but as we all know, that in 3 days he was risen, he was arise from death, and that's how that we know that trusting in him. Just the same as God raising him, we will be raised at the end with him. Because it says, the scripture says that if we die in Christ, we will be living in Christ also. And so that's confidence that we have, right? I just got to say that sometimes when I have these PowerPoints, my comments are, I don't see them here, and so they might be short, and I hope the disc will bring good thoughts and make, I hope I make a point about the things that I want to say today. And without taking any more time, because the time runs pretty fast, and I just like to talk and like to hear myself. Envy. Or jealousies, you know. Christ, here we are in the CEO of the church, and I love the CEO, and I wish we can do more with it. It says right down there, if you can see by the bricks, it says, come to me, all that you labor. But above says that he is the light of the world. And He is the light of the world. And at the end of this PowerPoint that I have here, I will mention that again. But for now, we're gonna go on with what happened when these thoughts go to your mind every day as we live in this life. We're gonna see an example here. Hopefully, let's see if this works. In the beginning, we see once our forefathers made the mistake of doing what God told them to not to do, from eating from the tree that he told them not to touch, look, or eat of it, or you will die. So we're going to read in Genesis 4, 1 to 8, so we can get into it. And it says in Genesis 4, 1 through 8, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Eve conceived a man. That was a gift from the Lord, that she was able to have a son. And you know, these days when someone is, I just got to mention this, I'm going to stuck here a little bit, you know, because I'm a happy man. I'm going to be a grandpa. And that makes me think differently. I guess I forgot what the feel is. Well, actually, I'm going to be a grandpa and I'm going to be an uncle again. God gave Eve this gift of having a son. And I look at this and I'm like, you know, God always has the perfect time for your family to grow. You know, who could have thought all these things, that I will have a small family, that I will, things that you cannot see in the future, you know, what it's going to be. And well, I see my small family, and it just bring me peace and joy. So that's the joy that we Christians carry with us everywhere. And so people notice that, you know, your joy, your happiness, and you're always in a good, really good mood. But here we see that God has given her this gift of having a boy. And she, again, bear his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that was one of the things that God told him, you know, because you have done this, you're going to do this to survive, to eat. You're going to work for your food. I can imagine, you know, you have all this for you to eat, to enjoy it. You know, you don't have to do much, but obviously men don't listen. And so that's what happens. And so now we have a price to carry around with us, and to he called us home. And we continue on three, and in process and time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the first things of his flocks and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth. And his countenance, that's the word I was looking for, fall. And that is, you know, God knew that he was mad, and Abel was mad. And why is it that God does not like his offering, you will ask yourself. You know, I don't see it any other way, but you know, God knew already. He can see his heart. He can see what was coming. What he was going to give, he was not going to give it with all his heart. You know, so that's the thing that I have to myself. That, you know, every time you do something for someone, or you give away something, you do it with your whole heart, not knowing what the person is going to do with it. But you accomplish that duty right there about helping and supporting someone. So God knows what was in his heart. God knows what's in my heart. God knows what's in your heart right now. So, let's just be careful of what we think, because, you know, when you say something, that's why it says that the tongue is just like full of poison, because you say things, you know, you bless God, but you curse others too with it. So, and everything comes from your heart. Okay, so we have to be careful with that, and that's what it says right here. That's what the way I understand it. If thou dost well, should thou now be accepted? So it's like explicit right there. If you were to, I was going to start speaking in Spanish. If you were to, you know, giving it to me with all your desires, you know, maybe I would have accepted, because it's still fruit on the ground, you know, it's fruit. You work for it. You know, you earn it with your sweat. But you have issues. We have issues. We all have issues. We need to work on it. If thou dost well, thou should not be accepted. And thou dost not well, sin lay at the door, and into thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I see it right here that because God liked Abel's gift better than Cain, Cain built up some type of envy, some type of jealousy. And that is what happened when that happened to any of us. We get angry, and angry can cause more damage than you can think of. Physically or you can say things that you can hurt someone really bad that can be even worse than a hit in the face. So this particular verses here, he was so angry that he was to the point that he killed his brother. And that's what anger can do. Create open doors to sin. Sin is, it can be dead. Sin is dead. Because it says that if you live in sin, you're pretty much dead in God's eyes. So we have to be careful in how we treat others and not to let those things come into us as you open the door. I'm going to click here, and I have this nice sign that says open. You, as you build up those anger issues or in your life and in your body, or hopefully I'm making sense here, you open the doors of your heart to sin, and sin is going to come into you. You know, Satan is going to do his work, what he's trying, he wants to do. You know, he doesn't just come to you because he wants to. It's because you let him come into you. Because you're behaving, because the places that you're hanging out, because the people that you're hanging out, you start to, once you become Christian, you think you're safe. But you're not. Things get worse. Things get worse, and it's like almost you see things clearly than what you used to see them before. Because when you were in the world, you were doing things in a way that it was not understanding to you. It was ignorantly. You would do things without even think the consequence, what was behind, right? So that is, but once you start doing those things, and then you the coolest person in the world eyes, your friends, you know, you do those things that you're trying to fit in, you're good. You're okay with them, but you're not okay with God. So this is the things that we got to be careful, not to open the door to sin, because sin, Satan, is going to start working in your heart. And now I would say the sin asks for permission, or Satan asks for permission. I think he does, because it's a pretty good example in Job. A good example in the book of Job. God allowed Satan to test Job. I don't know for sure if that's what it means, but I'm going to read from chapter 1, 7 to 12. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence thou comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and say, from going to and from in the earth, and from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is no like him in the earth, perfect and an upright man, one that fear God, and I don't know how to say that word, sheweth evil? Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made the hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had in every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance and increase in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee. You know, at this point, it's like, come on, you think that he really listens to you, that he fears you. You know, everything is good for him, and he has no need. He has no need. So he's going to look so good in you because he's not suffering. But let me give it a try and see what happened. You know, God gave him permission to do those things. Do you think these days we'll see it the same way that we are put to the test? You know, when you're about to do something wrong, just think about that. Am I falling into some type of test right now? As Christians and as you know, do scriptures and you have rhythm. Those are the things that you need to, you know, listen to the Holy Ghost that is in you. That God is telling you, stop. But, you know, once again, we live in a body that is made of flesh, and the flesh is weak. That's what the scripture says. We are weak, and we are let ourselves go. But the Lord is in control of everything, even Satan. And so, I'm going to just click another. Another example that I believe that this is how it is. And look, we read that Peter, when Christ told him, you know, this is the things that are coming to me, that the Son of Man will be betrayed, he will be killed, and one of you is going to betray me. And Simon, not knowing what's in the future, he said, because he was a follower of Christ, I will never betray you, and I will never deny you. I'm always going to be with you into death. Christ knew what was in his heart. So we're going to read in Luke 22:31-34. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know, it's like another Bible says he wants to shake you. And I can see that in my mind. He wants to grab you from your chest and just shake you. But Brother Adam, the other day, he preached something about the wheat and how the chaff is separated from the wheat. From the wheat. And so this is what he's talking about here. He wants to separate you from God. He wants to separate you. He wants to work in your heart and put those things that is going to work against me, against God. But I have prayed for thee. Now, that's confidence right there. You're not alone. We are not alone. God, Christ is always right next. That's why it says, like in the song, he's living. He's alive. He's here today. He's not dead. He was. But God raised him on the third day. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he's saying to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and into death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now that's, you know, I'm pretty sure that even the Peter was the most tough guy in the 12 apostles there, brought him to sadness. And at the end, when that really happened, he cried, if you remember. He wept because Christ knew exactly what was going to happen. We must pray to our Father for our needs, especially when we are falling short. And I found these scriptures in the Book of Mormon, which it really uplifted me, because it says, you know, Every time you feel the somethingness attacking you, you need to stand up and stand fast in your belief and pray to God that He will help you to go through this problem or these things that are trying to bring you down. And we're going to read 3 Nephi. I have it on the screen, so I don't have to open my book. 3 Nephi, chapter 8, verse 50 and 51. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto the disciples, He turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. For Satan desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Which is right. You know, you're not going to pray to God to help me to win the lottery and have all this money and be rich. That doesn't mean that. He doesn't. He wants you to come to Him with humble, with broken heart and humble heart and broken spirit. That's how the scriptures put it. He wants you to come to Him. You know, when someone stands up and is in need of a prayer, you know, you can offer. But it's always a good thing when it comes from their mouth, because it's coming from them, not from you. You're not pushing them. That's why when someone is coming to church and it's, you might be wondering, you know, I wonder what they think about the sermon or about the preacher, the message that they just heard. You know, at this point, we know that the Word of God is alive and is talking to you. Talking to you right now. He wants you to come to Him. You know, He is, a lot of people say, well, where is He? Where is He? You know, it's been all these years and we haven't seen it. But as we all know, and I don't want to bring it out, this coronavirus is having the whole world shaking, right? And I'm not going to get into it, but it's one of the signs. And we have to think about those things that you start to see around us. We have to consider those things that we live in the last days. So come to Christ, come to God in prayer. And when you have all those needs, temptation is all around us every day. We deal with it in work and with friends. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So we need to watch out and be careful with that. In Alma 16:238, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you, yeah, and also exhort you, my brethren, that you be watchful and pray continually, that you may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that you may not become his subjects in the last days. For behold, the reward you he reward you no good thing. And brother mentioned this morning in the Sunday school about the second death, and I had to say, you know, these things are serious. There's only two ways: where you want to go, where you want to be. You make a choice, because you do have a choice to choose exactly. This in First Timothy 1:18-20 says, This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before and thee, that thou by them mightest work a good welfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered into Satan, and that they may learn not to blaspheme me. Once again, you know, we have to be careful of the things that we think cannot stop someone from the back and in the back, as we all know, as the Israelites were traveling through the deserts, when Moses from God's help, they were out of Egypt. As they were traveling, when they got out, they were happy. But once they were in the desert, just wandering around, for their hard hearts, the God not show them the way out to the promised land, they were just complaining constantly. And so much that even the sister of Moses was complaining of his own brother. I would have preferred to stay in Egypt and work hard and work as a slave, but hey, I have food. But there was no freedom. They had no freedom. And that's, you know, when they were there, they were crying to God, and God answers them. But then what happened? They turned back. And we see it a lot in our Book of the Mormon. Book of the Mormon always talks about the Nephites, how they've been blessed and everything. And then once they have what they want, they forget. They forget of those blessings. And the same thing with us, you know, these days. You know, you sick, you are afflicted, you get healed. But at the point, you asking for prayers, you asking for administration. Once you're all healed, let's not forget that those blessings came from God. Bad doings will invite bad spirits. I like this chapter right here, because like I said a while ago, your works will show who you are. There's an old saying that says, tell me who you're hanging out with and I will let you know, and I will tell you who you are. You don't want to hear that from someone, from one of us. Hey, I see that you're hanging out with this person, whatever, be careful. You don't want someone to come to you and say those things to you. We have to stay away as much as you can. You know, God has called us to be the light and of this world, but we have to be careful too. It says in Matthew 12:43-45, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and find not. Then he say, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he find it empty, swept, and garnished. Then go he and talk with himself seven and taking with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered and dwelt there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. My comments in this for these chapters is that, you know, once we have accepted Christ in our hearts, don't go back. Don't go back to the world, because things will get worse for you. Well, they will get worse for you. But, you know, he has mercy, and it's still a better chance for those who have accepted Christ once in their life and then been baptized and they walk away. I believe there is a better chance for them to come back than for those than really closing the doors to him. Remember that what the scripture says, it says, I'm knocking, I'm outside, knocking at the door. If you let me in, I will sup with you. I will be with you. I will walk with you. He has the authority. We have to believe his record that we have with us and the witness, which is the Book of Mormon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15:24-25 says, then come the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. And that is, you know, We can read that, or even from the Old Testament. David said about putting all the enemies and his Lord under his Lord's feet, and we know this is Christ. This is who he's talking about. Jesus gives his disciples authority. That's one of the things that I was so interesting when I first started coming to this church. We understand that we have the authority because every minister that is in this church has been called by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I truly believe that. There's a verse somewhere in 1 Corinthians, something like that God chose the weak to confound, to confuse the doctors, the doctors on the world, not the doctors on medicine, but the doctors on the world. By their learning, they gain authority under people because they are good. And I am one of those weak ones that God has chosen. And you can see, you can tell, but just like Brother Andy said this morning, I have the desire to bring the word to you. I have the desire to bring words of comfort, words that it might make a big change in your life this day. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." These words are so, they bring joy, they bring hope to us, because once again, we are not alone. And what does it say here in 19? It says that he has given the power to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these days, many churches don't believe in that because there's another scripture that says you be saved by grace. But to me, you had to tie, just like when you get married. You had to have something that symbolized that you have make a covenant with God to follow him, and just him, and not anybody else. So why do we think that this is the true church? At the end, I have a comment about that. John 20:19-22, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saying to them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saying to them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Right there, he said, Go and do what I have told you. He has given them the power to do those things. He has given them the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which will guide them and direct them, and as he guide us and direct us, when you receive that gift by the laying hands. That is so cool. I mean, those who have not experienced that, I ask that you should consider, because it's the most wonderful thing. And you become a new person. You are a different person. It's like you have a second chance of those things. You know, I always tell myself, I wasn't the perfect person. I did things that I feel so shame of it right now. But something that comforts me is that everything is in the past. and we just keep moving forward. After all, Christ cleansed you up for all those things that you don't have to think about those things anymore. All you had to do is just focus on God, focus on Christ, keep your eyes on it, just like Brother Placido told us to do. So I have some definitions here about these jealousies and envy. And this is when I'm going to show you some pictures about it. You might think it's kind of funny, but they are kind of funny. So jealousy is defined as very, very watchful or careful and guarding or keeping. And resentfully envious. A lot of these words, I don't even know what they mean, but I think they're pretty cool. Envy is defined as a feeling is discontent, and because of an other advantage, possession, resentful dislike of another who has something the one desire. Yes, that's pretty true. That's pretty true. That you see things that other people have, you don't show it, but you feel that. Something in you, they're like, you want to say, I would like to have one, or how he can have that, not me. But that's where those things are works of the enemy, works of Satan. All those things that he's trying to put in your heart. Here we have this kid kind of looking at what the girl has, a bigger one, and perhaps even sweeter, and I have this little popsicle here. Kiss. You see the face of the other one. He's like, "Hey, wait a minute. What about me?" that would be jealous right there. I can see that message that it would be jealous. Right here. It's like, you love your children, but you have different love for each of them. But that doesn't mean that you don't love them less or more. Okay, this one is pretty cool. Those who know cartoons of Disneyland, they're throwing these messages like jealous of beauty. You know, God makes you perfect. Beauty, with the time will go away. no, don't take it the wrong way. I mean, you can take care of yourself as long as you want, but you will not look the same that when you were 17. Beauty will go away, so don't be jealous. God He created us perfect. That we don't need to change anything, really. This is my dream car that I would like to have. If I ever show up to church with this nice little car, I don't want to send bad feelings, bad examples, but you don't know that it's my car. It's a rental car. So I don't know how you can see that. It was my dream car, I would like to have it, but it's just things, it's just items. I mean, you don't have to build up these things, but the enemy is going to work on you through those things and build some type of wall, division between you and your brother. We need to treat ourselves the same, with love, and be happy. If this guy really dare have that car, get a car, hey, I'm happy for you, congratulations, that's a nice car. Who would not like this car? I mean, I would love that car, but it's not in my budget. So, in Titus 3, chapter 3, 1-8. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey and magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, and to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and being and hating one to another. Like I just said, you got to quit all those things, because we were just like that in days back before you come to the Lord. But once we had to try to be as soft as heart and show good words to our, especially to our brothers and sisters, and to your family also. To your family, you can do only so much. But after that, the kindness of love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that's how who we are, you know. We're not, with the old man has been left behind. We are new creations. We are free in Christ, which he shared on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. And that is what we're going to earn if we keep it up and stand fast. You don't want to go to what our brother said this morning, to the suffering of the second death. You want to be with Christ, the eternal life. That's what you want to be. That's what I want you guys to be. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. In Romans 1:28, and even as the dead not like to retain God in their acknowledge, God give them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with the unrighteousness and fornications, wickedness and conventions, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to the same, but having pleasure in them to do that. You know, sometimes there's a really good movie up there. I forgot the name, but you know, we live in days that everything looks pleasure to us. But and God is evil. So you know, once you hear something in movies, or you watch something in movies, and you just laugh about it because you kind of find it funny, and you go with it, but. Really, those are the things that he's talking about here. We need to stay away from those things, because that is wickedness. All those things, you know, don't be supporter. It's like you're supporting those movies and TV shows. And you know, I love my wife. Sometimes I do kind of slip, and she's like, "Turn it off." Okay, you know, I don't argue, but. Those are the things that we need to watch out. They are not to support or not to laugh about it, because really it's not what God expects of you. You know, we are in highest, what's the word I'm looking for? We have a different office. We are no longer in the world. So we need to stay away from those things. Not completely, but really, when you know this is too much for me, I just got to stop watching this. You know, Brother Steve mentioned someday about The Simpsons, and The Simpsons is a really good example. You know, they make funny of Christ, and a lot of those cartoons. But, so those are the things that you like, it's worthless to watch this. Be happy for others. No jealousy is allowed here. In Galatians 5:19, we read, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Those are the works of the flesh that we are endangered every day, which are this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. It's almost like what I just read right now: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, and drunkenness, and all those things that the world thinks today that it's almost like it's okay. I mean, you see it everywhere, especially in other lands, in other countries, like the places where the brothers go to preach the gospel. You know, I was reading the report of Brother Joe from Africa or Ethiopia. Yeah, and it's horrible. It's horrible what the report that our brother there give them, the things that the government is going on. The church provide all these things for the group that are church members, and the government takes over, and they don't share it with them. You know, after all, the church provided, but the government takes it, and our people, they don't get to have them. That is just horrible, and it's everywhere. That's evil, and it's everywhere. I mean, we have to see it. It's all around us, and this is what Paul is talking about here. Sin is like trying to separate us from God in any way, you know, and once you go into all those things, anger starts to build up in your heart, and you're like putting God in the side. And maybe you're just trying to do your own thing and fight for your own thing, not trusting in the Lord. When you see all these things happen, especially like I said. What do we call these things? Sinful thoughts. You know, you can see here, and this is a picture from the internet. This is how sin separates us from God. There's a big gap right there, dude. We need to fill that. And who's going to fill that? You're not going to fill that for yourself or by yourself. You're going to need help. And Christ is the only way to get to the other side. And Isaiah, it says, "But you iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hide his face from you, that he will not hear." Once you go in the wrong way, he's not going to listen to you. He's not going to be with you. He's not going to hear you. He's going to walk away from you. And you don't want to go to that, really. And it's so easy for that to happen. We're going to read in Alma. In Alma 19:43-47, it's going to explain us. You know, you have a choice. But if you want to be in this side, it's up to you. You have built those barriers around you. You don't want to know anything about God. Because this is you right now, and this is all that matters. But you don't know what's ahead of you. This life is temporary, and we only have about 20 years more. If we're lucky. We're going to read in Alma 43-47 real quick. 43. It says, "Behold, it hath been made known to me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are depart from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to the God who give them life. And then shall I come into pass that the spirits of those which are wretched are receiving to the state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all the troubles and from all the care and sorrows." This is the place where you want to be, right? This is the place that we are working at, that we may be able to be there. I'm not asking, I want to be there. It's going to be up to me. It's going to be up to you. And the other one is going to be on the other side. "And then I shall come to pass that the spirit of the wicked, yet which are evil, for behold, they have no part, no portion of the spirit of the Lord. For behold, They choose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil dare enter into them and take possession of their house. Then this is what I was talking about. You give him permission to come to you. You have the doors open. He's going to come to you by those evil works that you're doing. Romans 8, 1, 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, this is Christian, and the Bible says, you know, he has conquered death. He has took the sting of death that we will not suffer. And it says right here, we are free in Christ. We are free. We are no longer living in sin. If jealousy is a sin, why is God jealous? God, he is jealous, right? We have read that over and over. And to my understanding, why not? Why not? Because all this is his. He made me. He made this world. He created every single thing that is in heaven and earth and in between and everywhere else. He is our creator. But, you know, that's like the scripture says, we love more the creation than the creator. Like having my porch outside of my driveway. That would be my idol or something. I'd be focusing more on that car than on God. Let's not worship the creation. Let's not worship the items. Exodus, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, and is a jealous God. And Isaiah 45, 5 to 6, it says, I am the Lord, and there is no else. There is no God beside me. I guard thee, through thou hast not known me. That they may know from me the rising of the sun, and from the west, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. In Genesis again, 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God create he him, male and female, create them. So why not be jealous? You know, you might. But I see you doing those things. I get angry. I get jealous. You know, you're following other gods. You know, that's what happens when the Israelites start mixing. They start having all these beliefs, believing and worshiping in other gods. And that was not the plan, but that's how it worked. And that's why Christ had to come and redeem all of us, all races, by him dying on the cross. And John, had to throw that in there. That's my favorite verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How clear is that? I mean, everybody knows this verse right here. Everything was created by him from the beginning. From the beginning. And that's what's so cool about it. That, you know, if you pay attention to those really close words, it says, when he says, let us create man in our image. You know, he says our image, not my image. All right. In the church seal, we read that it says the light of the world. I think this is my last comment. As I'm getting closer to my end. Sorry about that, guys. And I'm going to just real quick. It says that Christ is the light. Then speaks Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, that he that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 3:19, and his condemnation, and this is his condemnation, that the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And this that explains why they always wanted to kill him, because he knew that he w- that He knew their dark things, their evil things they were doing, and so they felt that pressure, that shame, and that's why they always wanted to kill him. And even these days, if you go and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I want to talk to you about Christ, and they're not in the Lord, they're going to shut the door on your face because they don't want to hear it. They prefer to continue doing what they like to do, all those things, and they don't want you to know. But afterwards, he knows already. John 12:35, then Jesus saying to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have it and have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walk in darkness know not whether he goes. And, you know, that's like when he say, you know, don't let the blind lead you, because both of you, you're going to fall in the hole. Let's follow the light. Let's be in the light. Psalms, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. My soul, I jump a couple verses here to 5. My soul, without only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, and he is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge in God. Trust in him in all times. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Can we trust in that? We are in the rock. We are in the perfect foundation and the strong foundation, which is the rock that was denied by others, but we know that this rock is the corner of the building. I like this one. As you know, when we start working in the on the back and in the front of the church, actually, as I was working here, working some plants, and Logan was with me, Logan, and I asked him, he's like, hey, what do we do? I'm like, okay, go dig that rock out. We're going to put it somewhere else. And so he didn't hesitate. He grabbed a shovel, went up there, and started digging. Less than 2 minutes, he come back. He's like, that's not going to work. I'm like, why not? And so I went over there and started digging. I don't know who put that rock in there, but it's well done. It has concrete all the way around. That rock is not going to go anywhere, maybe in pieces. So my comment at this picture is, I believe that we are in the true church. I believe so. We are in the strongest rock ever, which is Jesus Christ. This is the church of Christ. And I have no doubt of that. So I want to thank you for your time, for being here. And I hope you got something out of this sermon. Thank you so much, and God bless you.